Chris?
Here.
Carol?
Here.
Paul?
Yes.
Denise?
Here.
Lauren?
Here.
Brenda?
Here.
Josie? Tom? Samantha?
Here.
Daly?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Okay, before us, we have the agenda. I need a motion to adopt.
I'll make a motion. Do we need to make any amendments?
No.
Okay. I'll make a motion.
Okay. Motion made and seconded. Anybody have any additions or corrections to the agenda? Hearing none. There's no objection to the agenda. It's done as written. Do we have any public comments on any agenda items? That would be a good time if anyone feels they may have a conflict of interest with any item that is on the agenda. That would be a good time to present that. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I made one fair bet with our financial advisor about interest rates. I don't know if that affects anything.
Depends on the beer. No. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and recess the regular meeting, and I need a motion, or I'll go ahead and call the planning board, which is the assembly, into order. And I need a motion to bring Resolution 2202, a resolution to the Aleutians Eastborough Planning Board approving Alaska State Land Survey 2017-47.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Okay. I'm going to turn the floor over to Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ernie Weiss, Natural Resources Director. The action before you is to approve this Alaska State Land Survey 2017-46. It's the second part of our municipal land selections in Sandy River area. It's one section, approximately 600 acres. In August, the Planning Board approved other 1,800 acres. There are three contiguous sections, and this one is a separate one. But this one took a little more time because of the meanders in the river. And so I had to go back from DNR to the surveyor, McClintock. And so it's ready at this time for you've got a resolution. You've got the survey in there. There was a question asked at the work session about this survey includes our Sandy River Lodge lease to APICTA. That lease expires the end of 2025, and then the lessee has an option three times to renew that 10-year lease. So, again, you have the action before you is to approve this resolution or not, by approve this survey by resolution.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for Ray? Paul?
Yeah, thank you. A couple of meetings already, during the last time was our planning board agenda. I think I asked you how much the survey cost, and then how much we're getting in return on the lease, and how does that balance of money?
Oh,
I kind of forgot.
I don't have the cost of the survey in front of me or the lease amount. I don't have those numbers.
All I do remember is that we were spending a little more than we were taking in. Just something to keep in mind, I think, whenever we either renew the lease or whatever we do in the future with that. And I support this action, but just good to keep that in the back of our minds.
So,
get down the road.
A little background. We've done three separate municipal land selection surveys. We have to do that in order to gain title. And so, you only do it one time. So, once these are done, then we'll put them on Mylar and everybody will sign them.
Do you have the option to lease three more times? Does this lease include three times?
No.
So three more times in addition to the one already.
Right. It's their option.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ernie, for the
this
work.
This is Josie. I'm here also.
Hello. Good
hello.
To hear you. Okay, that concludes the work before us for the planning board. So I'm going to adjourn the planning board and bring the assembly meeting back out of recess. The next item on the agenda is assembly minute meetings for November 10th. We need a motion.
Make a motion to accept the minutes as presented for November 10th,
2021. Okay. Thank you. So anybody see anything in the minutes that needs correction or changes? Okay. Hearing none, if there's no objections, the minutes will stand as written. Financial reports, you need a motion?
Make a motion. I'll second.
Okay. Thank you. Annie, you want to take this one?
Yes, Mayor. I'll be back in assembly. Before you are the October 2021 financials, just one thing to point out is the raw fish tax. We are above average, if we went off the five-year average, at about 157%, which is a good, like I said earlier, a good problem to have because we have no idea what's going to happen here in the future with crab and other fisheries. Other than that, everything is tracking along like it should, percentage-wise. So I have no other comments, but if there's any questions, please let me know.
Questions for Annie?
Just thank you for explaining how the process will be when you go to the new system. That was very nice. Thank you.
Paul?
Yes, thanks. Annie, when we go looking for new software and select it, which will be a couple of months at least out, I assume, training included and everything, one of the problems we've always had is just the numbering of the pages, for instance. Hope we can solve that.
That will get fixed.
Because it's nice when you reference something to go exactly to the page. Do you anticipate, though, I guess that's the only question I do have, do you anticipate whatever software we move into, the format will be very similar to this for us, or you just don't know what to say?
I don't know. I think each vendor that might be putting in a bid will be slightly different, but we'll I don't know until I see what they present.
Other questions? Hearing none, call the question on the motion.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
I'm going to do
it. Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Investment report is in your packets for your review. There's no questions on them. We're down to the consent agenda, which has three resolutions on it. So we need a motion to bring the consent agenda to the floor.
So moved. This is Carol.
Okay. So, Annie, you want to take the resolution?
Yes, of course. So the first one's Resolution 2222, supporting the full funding for the State of Alaska Harbor Facility Grant Program and the FY 2023 State Capital Budget. The borough did submit a grant application for the Sandpoint Harbor Float System, Float A. The scores have been released. It's in the table shown on your document. We were the first ranked Tier 2 project and the third ranked overall. And this one just supports that the state funds all of the projects that have been submitted. Are there any questions on that? Okay, hearing none. The next one is Resolution 2223 and 2224, which is in relation to the FY22 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program. The first one, which is 2223, it's for an adopting an alternative allocation method for the FY22 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity in FMA2 Aleutians Island area. And then 2224 is for FMA3 Alaska Peninsula area. As you know, the state of Alaska levies taxes on fishery resources processed or exported from Alaska. The state allocates a share of state fish tax collected outside the municipal boundaries with the communities affected by the fishing industry activities. And these are based on 2020 fisheries activities. The municipalities in the Borough Fisheries Management Area, which is FMA, agree to an alternative method for allocation since the inception of the program. The Resolution 2223, like I said, is for FMA 2, Aleutian Islands area. All of the municipalities within FMA 2, which is west of Unimac, receive an equal share of 60% of the program receipts. The eligible cities will share the remaining 40% of the funding allocation on a per capita basis. The FY22 total allocation to the borough should be approximately $173,000. Resolution 2224 is for FMA 3, the Alaska Peninsula area. All the municipalities within FMA 3 east of Unimac will share equally 40%. The remaining 60% will be divided among the eligible cities based on a per capita basis. The FY22 total allocation to the borough should be about $7,100. So in order to get these funds, these resolutions need to be adopted, and then we'll submit the paperwork to DCCED to get that process. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Annie? Paul?
I know our administration is keeping close track of what the legislature does, but because they're kind of, well, who knows, but I'd be nervous about any loose money like this. I think they refer to it as money that maybe they can find and spend some other place, as well as things like power cost equalization. And, so I just thought I'd mention it. I know you're thinking about it.
Yep.
But it isn't, you know, these things can change, and I think it's an okay deal for residents right now. And I hate to see it change, but I've got to be careful. Thank you.
Other comments? Question on the motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have, I need a motion to bring Ordinance 2205 up for public hearing.
I make a motion.
Second.
Okay, thank you. Annie?
Yes, so Ordinance 2205 is amending the operating and capital budget for FY22. On May 27, 2021, the Borough Assembly passed Ordinance 2112, adopting the operating and capital budget for fiscal year 2022. At that time, administration anticipated that the Borough would receive 50% of municipal school bond debt reimbursement, totaling approximately $334,000. As Mark Hickey mentioned yesterday, that at the state level, they determined that they'd fund 42% rather than the full 50, so that results in a $280,000 in funding. So we made that change. The other one is in relation to the natural resources budget. The first item is increasing the salary line item from $172,000 to $182,000, which would increase the natural resources assistance director's salary by $10,000. She has definitely exceeded professional milestones and et cetera, and administration does recommend approval of that. The second change is increasing the contract line item. Currently, it's from $10,000 to $20,000. I know there was discussion of possibly changing that, and I apologize. I totally forgot to get the numbers, but we could do that really quickly. Totally forgot. If this is to response to recent fishery management developments that substantiated the need for contracting with fishery consultants. So currently it would increase it from 10 to 20. If you guys would like to increase it more, a motion would need to be made. And then the last change would be increasing the Board of Fisheries meetings line item from 5,000 to 50,000. We weren't anticipating it to be a Board of Fish year. It is now Board of Fish Year, so this would increase to allow us to do items necessary to address Board of Fish. So with that, how it is currently designated, it would our deficit would increase by about $118,000. And if there's any comments, questions, anything like that, please. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Annie.
I know that Annie had talked about possibly getting some more figures, but that's fine. I mean, we talked in our workshop that if we need to increase that $20,000, we could certainly do that. So I'm comfortable with where it's at.
Okay.
Well, I had several comments. I don't know if you're in the public hearing part. I'm not sure when it's appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I was going to do that, but you asked a question.
Sorry, my fault.
Okay, so, all right. So at this time, we'll open the floor up for a public hearing on Ordinance 2205. Okay, we have no comments. I'll close the public hearing and questions from the Assembly. Paul?
Thank you. I think when it was first brought up, I'm pretty sure I didn't support it. And I do support our fishery budget increases because we definitely need it. There's no question about that. But because of our deficit situation and in the budget, we're way over budget. I think it'll pass. There seems to be general support in the Assembly, but I just haven't been consistent with what I did the last meeting and to not support this increase because this time, even though I do support, strongly support the increased funding for our regulatory fishery meetings. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments? All right. Question on the motion.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes. Excuse me, no.
Josie?
Hey, green.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I change your mind?
I put maybe.
We have it on record.
Okay. We're down to ordinances. The first one before us is Introduction Ordinance 2201. We need a motion and a second.
Make that motion. You make the motion to bring it.
We got to do the green. Yeah, we're just doing 2201.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
No. Okay. So we have that before us. So, Annie?
Yes, thank you. So Ordinance 2201 is authorizing the assignment of certain real property leased by the Aleutians Youth Borough. I'm going to talk about 2202 as well, just for essence of time, and I'll repeat myself anyway. So this Ordinance 2202 is authorizing the sale of certain real property owned by the Aleutians Youth Borough, and this is in relation to the Colby School. Currently, just to provide a status update for everyone, that these ordinances were originally presented at the July 8th meeting. They were tabled until the August 12th meeting. At the August 12th meeting, the ordinances were on the agenda, and due to a lack of a motion to take them from the table, the motion was lost. The September 9th Assembly meeting, Assemblymember Foster requested the discussion be placed on the December Assembly meeting agenda when we were all together for the strategic planning sessions. And per Assemblymember Foster's request, the ordinances are before the Assembly at today's meeting. The school has been closed since 2015. The land that we lease is aviation, DOT aviation lease land, and then the borough does own the facility. We originally went, or the Assembly originally passed a resolution in 2016 authorizing the mayor to dispose of the Coal Bay School property by negotiation with a federal, state government agency, local government, or native tribe or council at less than fair market value. We issued an RFIP. The city of Coal Bay expressed interest, and then they determined at a later date that they were no longer interested in the facility. Due to this decision, in July 2018, the borough reissued a request for proposal, or an RFIP, to federal and state governments, et cetera, again, and no submissions were received. So in February 2019, the borough issued an RFIP to private and public entities for the facility. Aleutian Services was interested in the facility. You guys passed all the ordinances, and then they decided that they were no longer interested at the last moment. So we continued to look at ways to dispose of the facility, whether it was by transfer or demolition. And we sent a letter to Senator Sullivan's office asking if the military was interested. They were not. And then we did go out to RFIP again, and two responses were received. One from Gold, and Gold Construction was selected because they are a locally owned business who has experience working in the region. So this is back before you. The first one, which is on the floor now, is Ordinance 2201. This one is for authorizing the assignment of certain real property leased by the borough, so that's in relation to the lease. Ordinance 2202 will be in relation to the sale of the building, and they are buying it as is, where is, to in that one for $10, which is less than fair market value. With that, administration does recommend approval of both of these ordinances, and if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Anne. Questions for Annie?
I have a question. Can we put 2002 on the same one as we're going to? We only have 2001 or 2201 right now that we're
going to
vote on.
Right now, that's what you're voting.
Can we add 20?
I would do them separately.
Do them separate?
Yes.
Okay.
On property and on the building.
Yes. The schedule. If there's no other questions, so the motion is on the floor, introduction ordinance 2201. So since the motion is made, our next regular scheduled meeting would be January 13th. This ordinance would be up for public hearing January 13th, 2022.
I have some comments on it. I must have missed the motion. I didn't hear what motion was made.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading one there. Sorry. Just asking.
Yeah.
I may comment.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm not going to support this motion, even though it probably is going to pass again like the last one. But as during our workshop yesterday, the school district had some mixed ideas about the action we're taking, and so we don't seem to have everybody on board. And of course, it's only the first reading, second reading next month, as you mentioned. And I know if we ever do build a new school, say this one isn't available or for whatever reason, it's going to be at least 10 to 15 million with the state having no money. I can't see how we could afford to build a new one. But anyway, we started comfortable at this time supporting this. Thank you.
Okay. You know, in regards to the meeting where the two letters, one came in from the city of Gold Bay and one came in from the superintendent, after that meeting I had talked to a couple of school board members and asked them about it, you know, why they hadn't discussed this with us prior to that, and they said, hey, we seen the letter the same time you did, so it didn't come from the school board, apparently. So, just so you know. Other comments?
In regards to kind of what Paul was saying, the superintendent, I don't think he had any problem with what we were doing with the school. He just wanted to know, he wanted to make sure that the borough was still thinking about possibly if enough kids get in there to put a school in there. So he had no quorums with the building. He knows the condition of the building from what I was understanding. The other question I have is before we actually accept ordinance 2202, do we have to come back and make sure that Gould Construction still wants it, or we're just going off of what they said several months ago?
And then we'll present it to them.
Okay, so, you know, and just for the record, one of the main charges of the Aleutians East Borough is education. And I think since day one, the borough has stood up to its responsibilities and provided what was necessary and needed for our education system throughout the borough. And I don't see in any way by accepting this that it diminishes that responsibility to the Aleutians East Borough or our responsibility to educate the children in our area. So if there's no other comments.
Well, the superintendent, I did ask a few questions of him, and he stated they probably would never, even if they could fix that school back up, they probably couldn't use it. It costs too much to heat. And even if they had a full load of kids in there, it still would be too much to heat.
Yeah.
There's so much that needs to be done to it, it wouldn't be cost effective. And so to hear that coming from the superintendent, I was comfortable. And he said he's had enough verification that if there ever was enough students, that school would be there. And he said, it's not that I don't have faith in it, because I believe that. So I'm comfortable in saying, if you guys want to just vote for this, well, that's the prerogative. Because okay. We couldn't use that school again, if there would be way too much money to have to be able to fix the heating. And it costs too much to heat this.
Okay. Thank you.
David? Maybe that money that we're throwing away on that building could go, start going towards the next school. Just an idea. No.
When it comes time, we'll come up with an idea. We'll figure it out. Other questions? Or okay, so everybody realized then, so I'm going to call a question on this, and this will be, if it passes, will be scheduled for public hearing January 13th, and it's going to be our next regular scheduled meeting. So, question?
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
No.
Warren?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So I need a motion for the introduction ordinance of 2202 and schedule for public hearing on January
13th,
2022. I'll make a motion. I'll second it. So Annie went over this. Do you have anything else?
So I just want to clarify that this is for the bill of sale for the facility. It's as is, I don't know. But it is that. So that's what Ordinance 2202 is for.
Okay, since it was pretty well covered in the last one, any comments or questions on this ordinance? Paul?
Yeah, just briefly, I support the previous motion. I'm not going to support this one.
Okay, thank you. Other comments?
I just think if someone thinks they can turn that into a valuable resource for their community, I think that's something we should be looking at as a positive and a real support.
Thank you. Other comments? Okay.
I agree with Brenda, and I think it might drive some more people to come into Coal Bay, and we certainly need to be helping out Coal Bay as much as we can, too, so I'll be supporting this.
Okay. Thanks. Other comments? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
No.
Josie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we need a motion and a second for introduction ordinance 2206 and scheduling for public hearing on our January 13th meeting.
I make a motion.
Second.
All right. Annie? Yes, Mayor, Oxford and Assembly. So before you is ordinance 2206 amending Title 6, Chapter 6.04, Section 6.04.041, Subsection E of the Aleutians East Borough Code of Ordinances. APCM did come at the last assembly meeting and did a presentation, and they recommended that the borough amend their code to amend the borough asset classes. So completing this amendment is projected to improve diversification and increase return expectations without more risk. In the packet is the after the memo is an outline with changes are shown in red on what sections these were, but essentially it changed it said it would amend in order to adopt adding the following asset classes. So we'd be adding the U.S. corporate high yield and an alternative beta, and should include the language that's in here. I can read it if you want, but it is in here. Section 6.04.04E, subsection 1, includes language regarding the bond funds and the alternative beta funds, which will be taken as a whole to attempt to provide systematic exposure. Sorry, I'm going to read the bond fund ones first. So bond funds, which are taken as a whole, attempt to replicate the Bloomberg Barclays U.S. High Yield Very Liquid Index or substantially similar index, including mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. Alternative beta funds, which taken as a whole, attempt to provide systematic exposure to trading strategies, including in the Wilshire Liquid Alternatives Index or substantially similar index, including mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. Section 6.04.041E2 includes all the new weight, target weights and ranges. You can see those there. This was done by APCM. So these are the values that they've given us. And then Section 3 further explains in more detail the performance measurements of the high yield allocation as well as the alternative beta. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. But this has been recommended by APCM.
Thank you. Any questions? Paul?
Last meeting, our financial advisors gave a presentation, recommended that we modify slightly our investment portfolio guidance, I guess, and all made sense. So this is exactly in keeping with what they recommended. It's a good idea.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Other comments? Question on the motion?
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. We need a motion and a second for emergency ordinance 2207 and Assembly issuing a declaration of disaster emergency in response to COVID-19. And as this is an emergency ordinance, it only takes us one reading.
Make that motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Denise,
yes, so Ordinance 2207 is an emergency ordinance of the Borough Assembly issuing a declaration of disaster emergency in response to COVID-19. This is very similar to all the other ones that you have approved. If approved, this would go into effect for 60 days, effective today, so it would go into effect until February 7th, 2022. It allows for, it does declare a local disaster emergency. It authorizes the mayor to request state and federal assistance to meet the ongoing emergency created by COVID-19, and it also will allow people to call into meetings. And I know I said this earlier, but I kind of used myself as an example at the last time this was approved, and then I actually ended up with COVID and could not come in and had to call in from home. So it was beneficial to have this in place. But that being said, if there's any questions, please let me know.
Okay. Questions? Paul?
Yeah. I guess we're going to have to support this for another short little while. However, I don't understand why the third whereas that's necessary. Referring to former presidents, doesn't seem pertinent anymore.
Yeah, we can amend it. It's kind of just adding on.
Maybe next time keep it more current to current presidents. Sesnick is probably more appropriate. Thank you.
Other comments? Okay. Question on the motion.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Our next item is under new business. Annie will give a strategic plan quarter three update.
Yeah, so as you know, the quarter three ended November 30th, 2021. Every quarter I like to give an update on what is in there. I'm not going to go through this with great detail, but we did really accomplish a lot. What we did not think we could finish by quarter, the end of quarter four, we have moved over to the next planning session, which is starting in, I think, March 2022. So this is in here for your reference. If you do have any questions, please let me know. But I do got to tell you, the staff's been wonderful about keeping up on this. And I really do think we've accomplished a lot this year.
Thank you, Annie. And I agree with Annie. I mean, there's really been a lot of work done, even with the roadblocks of this COVID-19. So kudos to the rural crew for sure. Anybody have any questions on there?
I'd just like to comment that I agree. I mean, this is awesome. I mean, to see this much stuff be done. What Mayor Alvin was saying with, you know, what's going on with COVID and be able to see this much accomplished is quite a feat. So I take my hat off to the borough administration. So.
Yes, I'd like to just congratulate you getting as far as you did this year. Remember at the first year we were saying, boy, there's a lot of that's not going to get done. And for you and your staff to accomplish all this, thank you very much.
Especially with all our technology, fights we've been doing, phones and internet, and Zooming and everything.
Yeah. And working from home at that, too.
Okay, so we're going to do reports and updates, assembly comments, public comments, and then we're going to recess into a couple of different executive sessions. So. Annie, you want to do your report?
Yeah, of course. So my report is in the packet. The first one, I just will go over CARES Act funding. As you all know, I've said numerous times that the borough received approximately $3.7 million in CARES Act funds. Through November 30th, 2021, we've expended about $3.4 million of that, and we have a remaining balance of $233,000. This has to be spent by December 31st of this year. I actually do not see a problem spending that at all. We're completing the Cold Bay Terminal expansion, so those funds will go towards that. But we are tracking, and I believe we'll have those funds expended in time, which is really great. The borough does continue to host biweekly meetings with Eastern Aleutian Tribes, the school district, and the communities to discuss COVID-19 and what's occurring in the region. Those have been really good meetings. I'm glad that we can touch base occasionally, at least with everyone, on what's happening. Borough has received the ARPA funds. I can tell you until I get the COVID funds, I haven't even thought about the ARPA funds, so we'll get that moving. But once the COVID funds are spent, then we'll start focusing on what we can and can't use those monies for. It is a lot more flexible. The rules keep changing. I keep getting stuff from U.S. Treasury, and it's constantly changing on what is permitted. So, Cold Bay Terminal expansion, that project is progressing very well. Concrete footings were poured. I've been told that the foundation backfill is completed. The SIP panels are all up, so all the walls are up, and they're currently framing the roof, and they're hoping to have it dried in by December 22nd. They've had a lot of problems with weather. It has been extremely difficult for them to get this up, more than we had thought it would be, but they are progressing, and we do foresee that project being finished in January 2022. King Cove Road update, there's an update in here. Steve Silver, our attorney, is here, and we'll be discussing this later, but what's here in the packet, there's a decision on the Ninth Circuit appeal. It's still pending. We're still trying to determine when Secretary Holland is going to visit, and then there's information about the special use permit as well. Accoon Dock and Breakwater, November 15th, the Army Corps did make it out to Accutan, which is fantastic. I'm so glad they got to make it out there. They conducted community meetings, met with Trident, and did a site visit, and I'm still waiting on getting the results or the notes from that meeting. And then we also have an RFP out for survey vessel charter. It was issued on November 19th and is due on December 15th. This is, the Corps requested that the borough issue this due to the Corps has a lot more. Basically, their RFP would have been 100 pages as opposed to our 10, 12-page document. So they asked us to do it, and that any monies we spent will be counted against the amount we owe as a local sponsor. Sandpoint Nakatan Harbor Floats, we did not get the RAISE grant. That award came out during AML, but we are awaiting decisions on the PID grant, the Port Infrastructure Grant, and also the Sandpoint Harbor grant through the state. And we expect to get decisions on those fairly shortly. We did touch base on the financial software, but the borough did issue a request for proposal for an enterprise resource planning and implementation services, basically the financial software that was issued, and we will get those proposals back. I forgot the exact. Oh, they're due January 20th. So, with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions?
Thank you, Annie. Can you tell us if anybody submitted bids on the charter that I guess we're doing?
So far, we've had two. Thank you. Two.
And then, skipping right to financial software, how much annual fees are we paying our software provider?
Right now? I actually don't know, but I don't.
I'm trying to have on top of your head how much we're paying for BDS or whatever it's called.
BDS?
Yeah. How much we're paying
for
BDS? Like
$5,300.
$5,300.
$5,300.
Oh,
$5,300
a year.
That's for the software for us
in Southwest. Okay. Just something to keep in mind. That's all. Who knows where we'll end up with this. Never knew. Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Thank you, Annie.
Hello, Mr. Mayor. I have a question.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering if there's a deadline on the ARPA funds.
2024. So
2020. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Okay.
Hello. Hi, this is Talia. For my report, November 9th through the 19th, I attended my first AML conference. This was just an awesome opportunity to just meet people, network, and just build awesome connections. This was definitely a wealth of knowledge, and I think my biggest takeaway from this was through the Emma Association that I attended on the last week. And they really owned in and reminded us that the community's elected you guys. You guys are our council. I apologize. And we work for you because you are the ones who've been elected. So they really owned in the importance of building good relationships and good rapport. So thank you guys for being here. And it's also been really awesome to meet you guys in the last. I broke down the date that I attended the conferences. So the 9th through the 10th was newly elected officials meeting. The 15th through the 17th was the local conference. And the 17th through the 19th was the Emma Association. Of course, we had our strategic planning yesterday. We prepped on the 3rd and the 8th for that. The meetings that we've attended, Annie went in and broke down the details a little bit, COVID-19, Cold Bay Airport Terminal, and the King Cove School discussion. Beasley Solutions, thank you everybody for doing their part. December 7th, I assigned the next two meetings or the next two trainings. So it's been awesome. iServices, they are going to start next week on configuring our firewall system, so our VPN is going to definitely be a lot more secure. Well, hopefully people will see a difference in their internet connection. It'll be a little bit better. November 12th, last week we have our 2N system set up. So that's looking pretty good. I always come down and stare at the camera, make sure it works, and give Lenora a hard time. And then last but not least is the mail tracking form. As of now, I have not yet received anything from anyone in the community. Annie, Glenora, and I have brainstormed some ideas, and I'm always open to suggestions if anyone has any thoughts, some sort of incentive to probably get people more just to interact with us and participate so that we could stop the stockpiling of mail and get time-sensitive things back out to people. And that is all. Does anyone have any questions?
Okay. I have one, I can't remember who brought it up yesterday, but we were talking with Mayor Osterbeck during one of the breaks, and we were talking on the mail tracking form.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was asking, when these do come in, do you have like a database that you might put
yes.
in? Okay.
Yes, I do. So I have an email that's associated just for the mail tracking form, and then as they're coming in, I've created an Excel spreadsheet to keep them in track. But like I said, I just really hope people start participating and sending information because we need the community's help. So, yeah.
Well, I think in our meeting yesterday we talked about getting more paper copies out to the city office and borough offices. So that'll help too.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Carol.
Hi.
You kind of took what I was going to say, I think you need to mail them to box holders or something because. A lot of people don't go to the borough's website, you know. And even if they do, it's hard to download and stuff. So, and for us that don't really do too much technology, it's even worse. But if you paper mail something and you mail it to a person, they will fill it out and they mostly will mail it back to you or fax it back to you or however. So I think that's a route you should try to see what you guys could do. I know the mail is expensive.
It's kind of funny, though, because we're complaining about mail, and they were telling people to mail it.
Yeah. I know.
We're just trying to see how quickly.
So I already talked to our case manager this morning about that, and what we're going to do is download one, and if people are having trouble getting their medications in, knowing that they were mailed from the hospital, and then when they haven't gotten them yet, and being able to put them right in that way. So there's a lot of people who can go sometimes from a week to a month waiting for medication.
Paul? You're complaining about mail by mail. Sounds like Catch-22, Section 8 to me. That's fine.
Yeah. Denise?
So I looked online yesterday. It shows so online is just the printable form or it's just to print and then you fill out.
So it's a printable PDF.
Okay.
They can put the information on there, type it up if they wanted to, and just mail it straight to me.
Okay.
Or they can print it out, fill it out, and fax it, whichever is easiest.
Okay. I tried doing it on my phone, but I don't know if that makes a difference if you have to actually have a desktop or on a phone because it wouldn't let me.
No, that's a
it wouldn't let me enter anything as a PDF because normally a PDF you can, you know, check the boxes, but it wouldn't allow me to on my phone.
Okay.
That might make a difference.
No,
also.
Yeah.
And this is mail. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another reason.
Okay. Any other questions for Talia?
Hi.
Who are you?
You stay in that corner.
I don't want to interrupt. My only thought was also, concerned about paper copies, is actually just using like an online.
Yeah.
That delivers straight to the database for you so that people don't have to download anything. There is still always going to be the issue of having internet, but then that way you're not having to mailing or faxing or anything like that. I was just going to put that
up.
Okay, so maybe my phone and didn't let me. Okay.
I didn't even have
a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Maybe you're in your wrong call.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Talia.
Thank you.
Laura.
Good afternoon. Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. Oh, it's been a busy month. I'll start with the website, since I've talked quite a bit about that. I know yesterday during the discussion. Bear with me for a second. Try to get the computer to work.
You're speaking pretty softly.
There, I don't have a very booming voice. Okay. Just one second, if you would, please. There we go. Okay, so for the strategic design, I've been meeting weekly with Planetaria Media, who is the website designer. Last time we met, we discussed three different options for our homepage design. And the administration, the staff, we all kind of combined our comments and presented that to them. So they just came up with a new one, so we're going to send that around and get more comments. So it's really nice because they are very, they're very, you know, taking everything point by point and really taking our comments, which is good. As far as the other thing I'm working on is the photography video plan. I discussed that a little bit yesterday. I put together a plan and submitted that for our strategic plan. And it basically will include coming up with an RFP to hire a photographer / videographer. And then probably in the summertime, we'll send them down to all the communities. And then same time frame, basically, we'll send them to Akutan as well. And take pictures in infrastructure, communities, et cetera, fishermen. Worked out a couple flyers. One of them was about the mail tracking form that Talia discussed. Just to bring attention to that, send it out in the loop and on Facebook. And also put it on the website. Another flyer was just about the planning session, which was yesterday and went very well, by the way. Also posted quite a bit of that on Facebook. In the loop, the most recent one went out was about Tina retiring, and it contained a lot of comments from mayors and administrators as well as past mayors and administrators, assembly and staff. So very clear that Tina left a big impression with everyone, and we're missing her. Hope she's enjoying her retirement as we speak. Press release. I'm working on a press release for the regarding the King Cove land exchange issue, essentially bringing up the point that December 23rd marks 8 years since former Secretary Sally Jewell rejected the road, which we all will remember. And we're very hopeful that the current Secretary, Deb Haaland, will come and visit soon. She was due to do that back in September. Didn't work out. COVID numbers were too high. So I know that Gary Henning and Steve Silver are in contact with that office. And hopefully she will visit soon. Other than that, as Talia mentioned, attended AML, which was excellent. And nice to sort of see everyone in person and sort of have all those great sessions. I also did the Beasley trainings. I've done all of them so far, so keep it up with that. I recently created an Instagram account, so that'll be another avenue to reach younger generations or whoever's in Instagram, really, and hopefully collect more photos as well. Thank you to those who have sent me photos in the last couple days. Mayor Osterbach sent me quite a bit last night, and Chris sent me some as well, so I appreciate that. That is pretty much the highlights for now. If you have any questions or comments, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Laura? Thank you.
Thank you.
Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My report is packet. Start with Board of Fish. We've talked about it yesterday. We're going to talk about it later. But briefly for the record, the Board of Fish accepted an agenda change request from Chignik that would decrease our fishing time in June and July for salmon by more than 50%. So the borough is taking this threat seriously. The board met in Cordova last week and ended early this week. They mentioned that it's now proposal 282. There's a timing issue. They've scheduled it for consideration at the March statewide meeting, and our peacock season starts March 7th, so it's a big conflict. They talked about it at miscellaneous business. There's an overlap of peacock vessels and salmon seiners, but they decided not to make any changes, so it's still set for that March meeting. They will meet again in January in Ketchikan and then March in Anchorage. We will talk about it later during the executive session, but we will also be working with fishermen and other partners as we move forward and get closer to the meeting. North Pacific Council is meeting now. They are the AP Advisory Panel and the SSC have moved forward on ground fish allocations for the Western Gulf. Pollock looks to go up by 22%. Cod looks to go up by 20%. It's still up to the council, and that will happen on Tuesday. Bering Sea Cod will also go up by maybe 19%. Again, it's up to the council, but that's what the AP and the SSC have done. But Bering Sea Pollock is going to decrease that allocation. We will have a meeting on December 29th, 10 a.m. So we'll set up a Zoom link and send that out later for fishermen. We have an end-of-the-year meeting every year to talk about quotas and changes in regulations. We'll get that information out as soon as we have that link ready. Otherwise, I'm here for any questions, and I'll talk to you guys later as well.
Questions for me? Paul?
The governor has a task force on fishery bycatch. Has anyone in our region applied for that, one of those positions in that task force?
Yeah, not that I know of. So they're pretty specific seats. You know, you have to... There's a mayor, Kodiak mayor, and the St. Paul mayor, I think, have applied. And the other ones, are you have to, there's a salmon seat for a salmon fisherman. But to my knowledge, no.
Probably most people are following it, but if there are lists of names or anything along that line, I know people would be interested in seeing as soon as you probably post it on your website. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernie. Charlotte.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. You have my report. It is a little bit light-seeming. I was on annual leave for a good chunk of the Thanksgiving holiday. So just to get started, I'll talk about the EM project. So Annie has already mentioned, but we submitted a proposal for the third round of funding for the EM project, and NIFWIF did recently approve it. It's currently awarded for $503,000, but it's expected to be fully funded at $521,000 for the 2022 year. This funding actually also includes a subcomponent to test using EM systems for the trawl vessels that also switch gear and participate in the fixed gear fisheries. Right now, as regulation stands, those vessels are not allowed to use their EM equipment, so they're not allowed to participate in the fixed gear EM program, which is a very big complaint that I received from the fishermen. It costs them more money, and it's unfair that they don't get to use their systems like everyone else. So I'm working on figuring out the catch handling protocols so that they can do that. I'm working with NIMS on this, and they anticipate if everything goes as planned, they should be allowed to participate in the regulated program the following year, so be able to opt in the fall. I'm currently working on a full debrief of the bee season pollock fishery for this project that, you know, was last year. We just finished all the data review. Just preliminary stats, we had 17 vessels participate, 12 tendered trips, 147 catcher vessel trips were reviewed, 58 feedback forms were provided. We send out a feedback form to every single vessel after they submit their hard drives to give them feedback. So just a reminder, this is like a complete restructuring of the pelagic pollock fishery for our vessels, so this has been a big lift for the guys. I also recently submitted a proposal to the NOAA SK grant to fund the EM in the Plants project. This would be working more with the processors to save everyone money on observer costs. You guys all know the federal fishery, there's required amount of monitoring with observers, and observers are basically biologists, so they're pretty expensive. So we're trying to do everything that we can to save everyone money on observers so they're not spending their money on observers. So anyways, I'll keep you posted on if that gets approved. It is a no-match grant, and I've also requested reimbursement funds for my salary. So hopefully we'll get some money back on that, which would be nice. So for the data portal, that project is pretty pretty much done. I'm super excited. I also included a link to the quarterly report for that grant. It's a pretty hefty report. The project was a major success. I think the fleet was really happy to be able to look at their own data. It's really, the project was about data ownership and giving the power of data back to the fishermen. Often they submit their landings data and they never see that information again, you know, observer data, all those kinds of things that can be really powerful tools for them. So pretty happy about how that grant finished up. I don't have a ton to report on mariculture at this time. I think that project will start to kick back up next year when we start to plan field work. For the cod tagging project, I mentioned this yesterday, we submitted funds for MSA funding because it's only partially funded at this time for a second round of cod tagging, which would happen next year. We did not get selected for funding, so we've submitted our proposal for cooperative research funds with the Alaska Fisheries Science Center. So we submitted a letter of support for that as well. And our project team is preparing a presentation for the Alaska Marine Science Symposium, which happens every year in January. We plan to discuss preliminary results of the cod tagging project so that the stock assessment authors can start taking those results into consideration when looking at PCOD assessments. Other than that, of course, salmon is on my mind. I know it's a small part of my report, but it's probably 90% of my brain right now. As you guys all know, we contracted with Northern Economics. We just got that finalized contract back today, and I'll make sure that's available to all of you. I also included the link in my report. So that amount came out to $77,000 with priority on salmon data right now. I have that contract through March, but, of course, we anticipate having, you know, the report and all of that available for the March Board of Fish meeting. Other than that, of course, I'm always attending meetings. I don't list them here, but I'm there. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Thank you, Art. Questions? Okay. Thank you. Very good. Emil.
You get the hot seat.
And everybody's been saving their questions.
Yeah, that's good. All right, thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. It's just been going on from my main and stuff here. Right now we're in the inspection phase, trying to get somebody out to the Sandpoint pool, because after the last earthquake that seemed like we've been starting to lose more water in it, so we're going to inspection guy going to come out. But weather was too tough here in the last couple of weeks for, you know, flight and get him in and out as soon as possible to try to do that. And just weekly meetings with Annie Dowell and our contractor out at the Cold Bay Terminal, making sure that that keeps going smooth and whatever they may need to try to help get things out there to keep that moving slow, very smoothly, not slowly. Try to get it up and done. And then working with Dow also and some other engineers and laboratories for our water leak problems that we have over in the King Cove School. And we're starting to come up with more solutions and being able to think about a system that we could put in there so that we can keep the damage down to a minimal instead of have to replumb the whole school, which would be a very, very costly bill that we'd have to do. But it's kind of the projects I'm working on, a strategic plan. I have a bubble in there of the condition assessment, and I've gotten the borough's properties down and vehicles down. I have maintenance logs for our vehicles up. I'm currently trying to get everything in the borough's buildings on a list so that we could go through and make sure that we have the preventive maintenance going on those and making sure that those are kept up. Also, the other ones, especially that we don't have with the school district, which we're in a different work order system with them. So, and the borough owns a lot more things than just the school buildings themselves. And it's been going pretty good. Just touched on the work orders a little bit there with the school district, trying to stay up with them. And with the borough's buildings, leaks, heat, lighting, and everything that needs to be done in the maintenance. And I'm sure I'll be getting some more calls here after the latest storms that we just had out there. So hope everything is still up and going pretty good. I was in, lucky enough to get out here for the strategic planning, and really nice to see how that's going and be able to see what next year is going to bring for our for the borough and which way we want to go and which way we want to head. Our Board of Fish meetings, which we're going to be there, and just try to be there and stand there to try to give the most support that we can for our viable fishery. Think you any questions?
Yes. How much water are we losing in the pool?
Well, they're putting it on for 15 minutes a day, the water hose.
Okay.
So, and we're trying to get a dye system so that we can try to figure out and pinpoint where that is. And it's an aluminum-based pool with a liner in it. So,
and I remember we fixed it several years ago. We had
the gutter system.
Oh,
there.
The gutter. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Questions for Emma? Okay. Thank you, Emma.
Thank you.
So we are done with reports. We're down to assembly comments. Amy.
Hey, I have a couple. So I have a question about, you know, the like the three villages have, we have advisory seats, false pass, somebody knows what they're doing. And why can't, out of the three seats, why can't we have a voting person on one of, you know, one of those seats? Why is that?
So we'll have to pull up the code, but essentially there's seven assembly members that are voted in, and then those communities that do not have a representative are able to select an advisory member. As an advisory member, because I believe, and I'll have to go back and look, but because you weren't voted in by the public, you are not allowed to have your vote count. It's vote, but it doesn't go towards the vote count. That's my understanding. And we can pull up the code, but that, it's very well laid out on how that works.
I think the other part of your question was, why aren't there three more voters? Or even a combination of three.
Or it's a combination of three because of the
I know
populations or whatever.
But I think it's somewhere in the statute or something.
We'll
find out.
Okay, I just took
it off. Yeah, of course, there was a lawsuit. I'm sure you have some. How we settle that lawsuit.
Right. Because it did get changed. Not in that manner, but when the borough started, we had each community had set numbers. So I had the advisory committee set numbers. And I think a lot of the borough communications changed that there.
I remember something about that. I can't
remember the word. Yeah. So anyway, there was something. We'll get that together. We'll get it for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You guys know what?
Yeah, and then the existing bathrooms in the borough, in the building terminal, thank you, can get it out of there. They do not have fans. I don't know if there's any way that they can fan in somehow, or that,
I don't know.
No exhaust?
No.
We can look at it.
I didn't notice that there was no fans in there, but
okay.
It would be probably fairly easy to we'd have to try to find an exit point to be able to do that with entering the external building again, probably. But we could look into that for ventilation.
Yeah. Okay. And then the upstairs, the room upstairs. We used it for our, you know, our break area at one point. When Alaska was there, they shared it with us. Alaska, I guess, was leasing it,
right,
from upstairs, and so they shared with us, and we had a nice break area and stuff, you know. And now, I know Raven didn't want to lease it because it was expensive.
Right. That was
expensive.
That I.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering if there could, you know, I mean, because we work in there, so does Grant.
I got to tell you, Aleutian Airways.
Okay.
They can't, airlines can't go to that building without it. It's just me.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking, why can't, you know, since.
Yeah, it has to be.
I was thinking, like, if the airlines, like Grant and Raven, and decided to, like, share it, could we all...
They would have to
lease it. Yeah, right. I mean, if we could, you know, combinationally. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that is possible, but just full awareness.
Okay, so we are down to public comment. You warm up. Okay, so at this time, there's a break. And when we come back, we'll go into,
make a motion while we're here first.
So stay by. When we come back, though, we will be going into executive session, and Annie will let you know who stays in the session.